You know, I think everyone goes in life, everyone goes through times or through periods of life where it just feels like it's a dry season. It just feels like it's a struggle. It just feels like you're in that place of the wilderness. And when you're in the wilderness, that's when you feel like you're farthest away from the promises. That's when it feels like things are the most hopeless. That's when you feel most isolated and most alone. And there's none of us that live our lives and don't go through those wilderness experiences. But one of the great things is what actually comes from the wilderness. In fact, if you look at the wilderness, if you look at the desert itself, and you look at it through the Word of God and how God uses the desert, how we see it spoken of, you can see that while it's not fun, it's not the kind of thing we want to go through, there's a lot of great things that come through that wilderness experience. If our eyes are on Jesus Christ, we can come through that wilderness time stronger, better. I've always found in my life that when I've gone through struggles, when I've gone through difficult times, when I've gone through those times when it truly was painful experience to go through, as long as I kept my focus on Jesus Christ, and I have 33 years in ministry, and again and again and again, this is true. Every hard thing that I've had to go through in my life as a believer, every hard thing I've had to go through, didn't like going through it. Sometimes I despised going through it. But I always came out of it on top. I always came out of it stronger. I always came out of it with a greater appreciation, a greater knowledge, a deeper knowing of Jesus Christ. Able to see Him more clearly. Able to understand and see His personality, His nature, His love. Seeing Him with more clarity and knowing Him better because I went through that experience. And I can say without reservation, and I've said this to people hundreds and hundreds of times, when I've seen them face to face, I said, look me in the eyes, because I want you to see I'm saying this without flinching. You can't see it on the radio, but I've said this to hundreds of people, because I want them to know, I want them to look in my eyes when I say this, so they can see the sincerity when I say this. All those hard times that I've gone through in my life, even as a believer, I don't ever want to go through them again. But I'm glad that I went through them. Every desert experience, every difficult time, I'm glad that I went through it because of what I gained from that experience. I don't ever want to do it again. I never want to return there. Didn't enjoy it at all. But I'm thankful to Jesus that I went through it because it built my love for Him, my knowledge for Him, my knowing Him, my understanding Him, my seeing Him. I grew because I went through it. I am a stronger follower of Jesus Christ. I'm a stronger man of God. I'm a stronger person in Jesus because I went through those times. Now, does God put us through those times? Nope. Life itself just brings these things to us. He's not going to bring you a disaster to strengthen you, but He will use the things that life brings. He will use them to strengthen us, to draw us closer to Him. You know, there's a verse in Hosea. Hosea is such a fascinating book because the story of Hosea, especially the way it starts out, Hosea is a prophet of God. God uses him in some rather unusual ways. God, because the people of Israel, because the people of Judah, because the two different tribes, I'm sorry, the two different nations, the nation of Israel, of course, divided after the rule of Solomon, and the 10 tribes went and became Israel, the northern part or the northern nation, and then the tribe of Judah became the nation of Judah, which was located there in Jerusalem and continued temple worship as God instructed there in Jerusalem. And of course, the Levites, the 12th tribe, was did not inherit land; they were serving in the temple. So when those two tribes divided, you had the northern nation of Israel and the southern nation of Judah. And as those nations both started to get farther and farther away from God, and as both of those nations, but especially Israel just seemed to dwell upon and embrace as much idolatry as they could. And they did not listen to the prophets. And what we see is Hosea is one of those prophets, and he's speaking to both Israel and to Judah. And you can see him speaking to both as he goes through, especially in these first two chapters. But Hosea, because he is speaking about the idolatry, about the people of God turning away from God, God instructs him to marry a woman who's a harlot. He's to marry somebody who is unfaithful, who is not faithful, because she is to represent the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah. It's the people of God. She's to represent God's people who are in idolatry. They are as a harlot. They are choosing to give their love, to give themselves over to not God, but to false pagan worship. So to represent that, Hosea marries this harlot. And then through this, God is showing and demonstrating to the Israelites who they are, what they are, and the results and the effects of it. Through this wife, Hosea's wife is Gomer, and through his wife he has a number of children. You know, one of the children, he is named, the first child is named Jezreel. The second, which means I will break the bow, or I'll break the strength of Israel. The second child is a daughter. Her name is Lo Ruhama, and that means have no compassion on the house of Israel. I mean, so you can see that he's using this marriage. God is using this marriage of his prophet Hosea to this harlot Gomer to demonstrate to the people how far they've gotten away from God and the results in their lives because they've gotten away from God. Now, God speaks to Hosea, and you see it in verse 8 of chapter 1, all the way through. There is a long, long, God speaks all the way through the rest of chapter 1 and into and through chapter 2. And God is speaking through the prophet Hosea. And these are words that Hosea is giving, specific words for Israel and specific words for Judah as well. So as we read Hosea chapter 2, this is Hosea speaking, but he's speaking the word of God that God is giving. And remember that he's talking about, specifically here, he's talking about the nation of Israel, who is like Gomer, this harlot. And listen to what he says in chapter 2, verse number 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, bring her into the wilderness or into the desert, and speak kindly to her. Then I will give her her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. And she will sing there as in the days of her youth, and in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt. So God is talking about how he's going to bring her, talking about the nation of Israel, he's going to bring her out into the desert, out into the wilderness. And that you can see the changes that are going to take place in the nation of Israel, or by the demonstration of Gomer, what's going to happen with the nation of Israel and what God's intentions are. And it's interesting to me that God brings her or says, I'm going to take her into the wilderness. I'm going to take her into the desert. This is where he's going to speak to her. This is where he's going to speak kindly to her. That is such a fascinating image. Because if you think about it historically throughout the Old Testament, and even into the New Testament, you see that God uses that wilderness so often. He uses the desert times so often. Certainly when the Hebrews, when the Israelites were leaving Egypt, after all those 10 plagues and finally Pharaoh relents and they leave, and then of course we know all those things that take place. Well, what happened? God had prepared a promised land for them. God had a land of promise for those people. But they had to go through the wilderness to get to that land of promise. You know, here's a picture that is enduring. This is a picture that you will see again and again and again. And this is something that is true. It's a truth for our lives. God has a promised land, and God has promises. But you have to get through the wilderness to get to. There's always that process of going through the wilderness to get to the promises. So you can't stay in the wilderness. And when you're in the wilderness, it does feel barren. And those Israelites who were in the wilderness for 40 years had to feel like, when will we ever get to the promised land? When will we ever arrive in the promised land? 40 years, they struggled, but for 40 years, they failed in two areas. They did not obey, and they did not believe. Because of their lack of obedience and because of their lack of belief, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And not one member of that generation who had left Israel set foot in the promised land except for. It was a whole new generation except for Joshua and Caleb. Everyone else died in the wilderness. They didn't make it through the wilderness to the promises. And this is what so often happens to us. We see the promises. If you're faced with something in your life today, and you feel like you're just in that hopeless situation, and maybe the doctors have given you some kind of a bad report, and it's drained all of your hope, and what they've told you pretty much makes you feel resigned to either a death sentence, or at best case scenario, maybe they're saying, well, this is just something you have to learn to live with for the rest of your life. You will always have to learn to live with whatever this is. And here's the adjustments you have to make. Here's how your life is going to be changed by it. And as you give yourself over to it and accept it, you just feel all joy, all hope gone and diminished. And what happens is, once we give up hope, once we take our eyes off of the promises, once the Israelites took their eyes off of the promised land, they just got lost there in the desert and continued to go in circles, around and around and around, never making any progress. You know, from the time that they were on the mountain where Moses brought down the Ten Commandments, it was only a 10-day journey, 10 days. It would have been a 10-day journey for the Israelites to go from that place into the Promised Land. That's it, 10 days, and yet they spent 40 years. How is that possible? Well, they weren't allowed to enter into the Promised Land because their hearts were still not right. They were stuck there in the wilderness, disobedient and unbelieving. See, when things in our life come to us that are contrary to the promises, are contrary to the good things, are contrary to the victories, are contrary to all the promises that we have in the Word of God, when things in our life come that are contrary to those promises and those good things, that's when you're in the wilderness. And when you're in the wilderness, if you give yourself over to the wilderness, well, this is just the way that it's going to be, you're going to continue to go in circles there in the wilderness. You can't enter into His promises if you're operating in unbelief and disobedience. It didn't work for the Israelites, and so they went through that wilderness time. The wilderness time is where they were supposed to learn. I mean, look at the things that God did for the Israelites when they were in the wilderness. He provided water for them supernaturally. They were in a desert. Okay, think about that for a moment. How do you survive? Let's say that it would have been a total of 3 weeks or 4 weeks. Let's just say it would have taken 4 weeks if you're moving nonstop to get from Egypt to the Promised Land. It took them 40 years. Just think about it. Even if it took like 4 weeks, you've got a million people, give or take. You've got all of their livestock, which is going to be multiple millions, give or take, all of them requiring water, and you're in the desert. It's going to be hard to find water for a few hundred people, and you have to go long stretches with no water in the desert. How do you have water provided for millions? See, this is the reason that a lot of historians look back and say, well, that's just a story. It can't be true because there's no way that there's water in the desert to provide for that much of humanity, let alone all of their livestock. So it can't be. Well, yes, it can be, because when you're in the desert, this is what God did. God was showing them, God was teaching them to put their trust in Him, that He would provide for them supernaturally. He had that land of promise, but they had to learn to trust God. They had to learn to put their eyes on Him, not on the desert, not on the circumstances. And for 40 years, He provided supernaturally water for them while they were in the wilderness. He provided for them food. We see the manna. We see the story of the quails. And He provided, when they wanted meat, He provided quails, enough to feed all of them. He provided manna for all those years in the desert. Supernaturally, God provided for their clothing, for their wherewithal, everything they needed. God provided for them in the desert. Because they were supposed to learn to put their trust, believe in, and then obey, believe in Him, and be obedient to what He said. And they would have, if they'd have had that heart any time along the way, they could have then entered the Promised Land. Desert times, and we're going to have desert times. You have to go through the desert to get to the promises. You see the promises, you read the promises. When you sit at church on Sunday, you hear your preacher, your minister, telling you the promises that are for you in Jesus Christ. And those promises are for you. They are yours. Jesus paid a high price that you could have them. They're promises that are for you, and He wants you to have them. But we have to do the same thing. We have to believe those promises are for us, and we then have to be obedient. This is the wilderness time. We have to go through the wilderness to get to those promises. Now, Jesus will provide for us all the way through the wilderness. And this goes back to the story I said at the very beginning. Every time that I've been through a difficult time, a different difficult situation, every time that I've gone through something that felt like a hopeless situation in the natural, every time, as long as I keep my eyes on Jesus Christ, He gets me through it, He delivers me, and I am stronger and better, and I come out on top. Whatever I lost in the desert, I got it back multifold when I got to the other side, when I entered into the promises. And because I went through that desert time, putting my trust in him, not believing the things that I saw, but believing the things that I knew to be the ultimate truth, which is the word of God, which is the promises he has for us, because I put my hope, my faith, and my confidence in Jesus Christ, I learned more about him. I came to know him more. My personal relationship grew. I was better because of it. This is what is true for you as well. If you're in a dry place, if you're in a desert place, God will use, he's not putting you there, but he will use those desert times. In this life, we have to go through the desert to get to the promises. He will use those desert times to provide for you supernaturally, encouraging you and strengthening you and pouring his love out to you if you'll receive it and keep moving forward, and you will find your way through that wilderness, through the desert, into his promises. And I guarantee you, when you've gone through that desert time, you'll be stronger. You'll know him better. And whatever you lost or feel you lost during that desert time, you will have that back and more multifold, because God's a God of abundant. You will have it back multifold when you get to that promised land. But you have to go through that desert time. Don't be discouraged or dismayed. Know that he will be with you. He'll walk with you, and he'll provide with you for you as you go through it. We'll look at more about just how God uses that desert time. Don't be discouraged in desert time. If you're in a desert right now, let your spirit just rise up and say, wow, if I'm in a desert, there are some great things that are lying ahead of me. He's going to meet my needs while I'm walking through the desert. I'm going to walk through to the promises, because if I'm in a desert, there are some great things lying ahead of me in the promises, the promised land, and the promises that he has for me. Be encouraged and keep moving forward.